Trouble here is to go through some of the basic yesodos of the foundations of the concepts of muksa, to go through all of the world of muksa. Well, muksa is one of the largest sugyas in Masechta Shabbos. You saw a little bit in the third parak. You saw a little bit at the end of the second parak where you didn't see that yet. You saw some of it in the fourth parak. You will see it again. There's a whole parak about it. There's other parakim about it. So the muksa is one of the more ubiquitous sugyas in the Masechta, and a large amount of Masechta's Beya has to do with Muksa. So in Masechta's Beya, there's a Rashi over there that Rashi seems to understand that you said of the din of Muksa is based on a Pasuk. So Muksa is the Raisa. And there's also Mashmos of a Gemara like that, the more in Psochim, in this end, towards the end of the third parak, the more in Psochim seems to be Mashmos that Muksa is the Raisa. Now, many Rishonim say it's lavdak. It means it's an asmachta. But that's clear, though. The poskim can point out that more is referring to the isser of eating muksa or using muksa. When you talk about muksa being the raisa, that's talking about the isser of hishtamshus, the isser of achila. The isser of tiltol is clearly a drabana. Why is it significant that it's a drabana with an asmachta? So, because there's a Tosis Yeshonim in Masechtas Beya and Gimel and Mabez, which the Marshah also quotes over there, that the more over there seems to say when you deal with a question of something with the Sufik, this is the Gabi Achila, case of the Sufik of a Beya, which is Bimuksa, mixes other Beyas, so Sufik Much, you have a case with the Sufik, so some of the Rabbanon should be the Kula. But a Rabbanon which has an Asmachta, we deal with like a suffix deraisa, and therefore the suffix derabanan is not lakula. And this is Prima Gadim in his Hakdama to Erechayim, when he talks about the different gradations of Isurim, he talks about deraisa, etc. One of the gradations says, in between a derabanan and a deraisa, is a derabanan which has an asmachta. And the derabanan which has an asmachta, we deal with a derabanan with an asmachta like a suffix in the sense of a suffix derabanan with an asmachta, we deal with lakumar, not lakula. Not like by regular Zerbon. Just want to clarify that one point. There are two types of asmachtas. There's a Ritva and Makis. The Ritva and Makis point out there are two types of asmachtas. There's what's known as an asmachta gemura, and that is what's called an asmachta ba'alma. The more someone uses the phrase asmachta ba'alma. The asmachta gemura means, for example, the post over here says, you should prepare, from before Shabbos, you should prepare everything to use. Now, the post wasn't saying explicitly this is a muksa, but the pasuk basically is indicating that whatever is to be used on Shabbos has to have a state of hachon. So it's not behedja, but there's clearly that the pasuk is definitely hinting to this direction. So the Chazal basically came along and picked up the hint of the Torah and made the Rabbanon. So since the Chazal are making the Rabbanon based on the hint of the Torah, we deal with it l'chumra. That's called an asmachta gemura. There's some cases where Chazal basically, you know, had a concept. They made an Isidur Rabbanon, and they found like a place where you could sort of like stick it, hang their hat on, that type of thing. That's an Asmachta Ba'alma, and that will not have this Chumra of a Suffolk L'Chumra. Okay, so it comes to the Isidur of Achila, the Isidur of Hishtamshus, where it's much more Chumra, but most of the discussions you're having throughout Masechta Shabbos, whenever you think of Muksa, you're thinking of Muksa in the terms of moving Muksa, tiltal Muksa. That's always the discussion which comes up. In Masechta Shabbos, are you allowed to move this item, not allowed to move this item, etc. But the even when it comes to this tiltal, the side of the concept of muksa is built around this pasuk that items for the purpose of Shabbos have to be in a state of mukham, they have to be in a state of being prepared from beforehand, being designated for usage, being roy for usage, as opposed to an item which is not really roy for usage, it's not designated for usage, it's not mukham, it's not ready to be used on Shabbos. And this is based on the chashivas of Shabbos. The Shabbos is such a chashiv thing that you only use on Shabbos things which are ready to be used for Shabbos. They've been designated beforehand. They're set aside in a certain sense, prepared for uses on Shabbos. So that's your muchan versus your muksa. There is gemaras who seem to indicate other reasons for muksa. There's a Gemara in Bay and Daf Tesvav, and some more in Kukuf Chavdala later on. The Gemara says that Tiltal has to do with Hitzah. And the Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Muksa, the Rambam says there are different reasons why Chazal made muksa. And the Rambam comes up with his own reason, which the Mor doesn't say. He says, you know, listen, if you're supposed to walk differently on Shabbos, you're supposed to talk differently on Shabbos, so obviously you're supposed to use items differently on Shabbos than during the weekdays. That's the Rambam's come up with this reason for muksa, like his own reason. And he says also the reason of Chazal Aser, because this way a person will come to do klishim not to lisser. Okay, that makes sense to us. Don't move pencils, because you might, if you're moving pencils, you might start writing with pencils. But the Ravid says, the Gemara says, the reason why Mok says also is because of what it saw. Okay? I'm telling you it's because of the pasuk of Behechinu. So if you tell me if you tell me that it's the Rabbanan, so it means like the reason why Chazal made the Yisur is because of Hitzor. The pasuk that they hung on to was Vechinu. That's a little bit funny, you know, what exactly is happening. Also, there's a Gemara. The Gemara says that the Chazal asked Muksa, there's a Gemara later on. Well, I don't know, do we call the Kalim?
We will.
Actually, okay. So there's a Gemara later on. The Gemara says that Yisur Muksa was Gzair made by Nechemiah. The Gemara says that time in Nechemya, the beginning of Bayis Sheni, they saw the Klai, so it was not keeping Shabbos properly. They were mamashim mekabel Shabbos. And Chazal said the best way to reinstate persons keeping Shabbos properly was to limit what people could do on Shabbos very much through muksa. And once you do that, so basically they'll focus in on only doing the things that they get allowed to do. And eventually the Gemara says that was called Gzeris Kalim. And they answered almost everything. Then they went back and they mat a little more, and mat a little more, and mat a little more, and mat a little more, etc. So it wasn't because of what saw. The reason why they made it, it's Mamash Gemara is back to back Gemara. One's Kuf Chav Gim, one's Kuf Chav Dalet. What's the problem? Is it because of what saw, or is it because of Zeres Nechemya that the Chazal were worried about people being Mechal Shabbos? So which one is it? So the Shulchan Aruch Rav pointed out that Gemara is referring to Kalim. So there is muksa, which is in the world of things which are non-kalim, or muksa machmas, gufay, etc. That existed way before Nehemiah. He says, I'll bring you a raya. I don't know, you probably skipped the gadot in Bama Malikim. Right? So more so, it says the story, David Melch was nifter on Shabbos. So David Melch's mace, it's basically the same story you have in the third parak. So the mace is sitting there on Shabbos, David Melch. And Shemuel comes and comes, and what can I do to move my father? Because he's muksa. Muksa was created by Nehemiah ben Hakkaya, the Mor says, which was 400 years later. So clearly there was dinim of Muksa, Bisman Shlomo Melech already the time of Shlomo Melech. So there was a Muksa in place that was Muksa of a mace, that's a Muksa Machmas Gufay. It has no usage at all for Shabbos. Then there was Kalim. Kalim was a different din, and that was in the time of Nehemiah. Kalim, part of the way Kalim, what it does is the less things you're holding in your hands, the less things you can carry. Less things you can carry outside. So the concern of Hitzor is less the less things you have in your hands. So the Rambam says that there were other reasons why they made the original Tekan of Muksa, right? The issue with the mace wasn't because of Hitzor. There was other reasons why Chazal asked that. Stones, that wasn't because. Then there was another Gzera of the time of the Nehemiah, which he maybe binds into the issue of Hitzor. There's a hesber from Hirsch in Chorev on Muksa, which is an awesome hesber. It takes a little while to explain it, so I'm not going to say it over you. But Zemar Muk, if you want to look up a piece in Chorev and Muksa, how Muksa connects to the Malach of Hitzor, he says a beautiful hesber. You have time to look at it; it's worth your time. Okay, so Chazal made this Isser of Muksa, and the Isser of Muksa is really the contrast to Mukhan versus Muksa. It has to be prepared before Shabbos as opposed to not being prepared before Shabbos. And you want to now on Shabbos take someone who wasn't prepared before Shabbos and use it as, excuse me, you know, for a very chashuv meal, you designate everything beforehand, you know, you're having a state dinner, they prepare all of the items beforehand, they don't run out in the last minute and get something right in the middle of the meal. That's not how you have a state dinner. So Shabbos is a state dinner. You don't run out the last minute in the middle of the thing and start getting other things. Whatever you prepare beforehand is prepared. Whatever you didn't prepare beforehand is too late to prepare. And that's the concept called Migudis Kutsar the Ben Hashemash, the Kuluyam. If before Shabbos it was not prepared, it was not designated, that's it. Well, in the middle of Shabbos, well, I changed my mind. I want to make it prepared. It's too late. I'm sorry. It's too late. You can't make it prepared on Shabbos. And that's Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, that once something is muks at the beginning of Shabbos, so it remains muks for all of Shabbos. Minas Gatai Benesh Moshes, the law is it has to be mooks of the whole Benesh Moshes to have this problem. Because since Benesh Moshes is a suffix, you know, we're dealing with Nisat Rabbanan. So if any time during the Benesh Moshes period, this item now is really fit to use it, it doesn't have a mooks of status. Any time, let's say for argument's sake, we'll say Benesh Moshes is 50 minutes long. Right, Moshe's shuva. Moshe was in America. Benesh Moshes last 50 minutes. So from sunset until 50 minutes later is Benesh Moshes. So if any time during that 50-minute period, this item was right to use, so at the beginning of Shabbos, it was right to use. So it may be used the rest of Shabbos. If it was muksa the whole 50-minute period, it was not really right to use. It was not mucha. It was muksa. Then it remains muksa the rest of Shabbos, even later on in Shabbos. The issue falls off. Now, there is a concept of muksa. Something can become muksa in the middle of Shabbos. Let's say you have a kli, which is it's mukhan to use, etc. You want to use a kli. It breaks in Shabbos in such a way that there's no usage for it anymore. It's useless. So now it becomes like Eitzim and Avana. It becomes muksa in the middle of Shabbos. But there's a Gemara in Be'ah, the Gemara says, Ein Muksa L'Chatzis Shabbos. What does Ein Muksa L'Chatzis Shabbos mean? That doesn't mean it can't become Muksa on Shabbos. It could become Muksa on Shabbos. But the Gemara means over there is, let's say later on in Shabbos, you know, something happened, the wind came, like, you know, and put the pieces back together again, and now you have a functioning kli. So now you can use it. Well, it was not usable at one point in time. That issue of once it's unusable, it remains unusable the rest of Shabbos, that only applies to the beginning by Benesh Moshes. So Benesh Moshes, it was not usable. Later on, it becomes usable. It still remains muksa. There's something in the beginning of Shabbos that was usable. In the middle of Shabbos, it became in a way that it was not usable, and therefore it became muksa in the middle of Shabbos. If later on that problem is resolved, and now it is usable again, it's not muksa anymore. It doesn't remain muksa for the rest of Shabbos in the case of, and that's what it means, ein muksa l'chatzis Shabbos. So we have this concept over here called migud yisrael Benesh Moshes, yisrael kol yom. There's a Gemara later on, all the way at the end of the Masechta. The Gemara says we pass them like Rav Shimon by Shabbos, regards to Muksa. But we don't pass like Rav Shimon the Gabi Migdus Katzoy. We pass like Rav Yehuda that there is a Migdus Katzoy. We have it over here in the parak. It's because of Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda. Rav Shimon doesn't hold a Migdus Katzoy. Rav Yehuda does hold a Migdus Katzoy. We pass like Rav Yehuda. Migdus Katzoy, the Ben Shmosh, it's Katzoy the Kuliyah. But once it's Muksa beginning of Shabbos, it remains Muksa the rest of Shabbos. Okay, now, even in Reb Shimon, the Gemara says, even in Reb Shimon, the Reb Shimon doesn't hold a Migdus Katzoy. It's not that he doesn't hold a Migdus Katzoy. He says that he's Yoshev Metzapah. Means, as far as Reb Shimon is concerned, at the beginning of Shabbos, it is Mukhan for Shabbos use, because I'm sitting and waiting for when it's going to go out and planning already from before Shabbos to use it for that moment. So as far as I'm concerned, there is an element of Hachana already at the beginning of Shabbos. I'm planning on using it 3 hours from now when the Nair goes out. So I'm planning to use the oil lamp 3 hours from now when it goes out. I'm planning to use it to hold cherries. I have it planned out already from the beginning of Shabbos. So it's cold. It's mukhan from Erev Shabbos already. Benachanam, in a case where it's something which is a large amount, I don't expect it to go out on Shabbos. So he has no plans to use it on Shabbos. See, even Reb Shimon is moida over there, there's a din of Migudis Katsoy. And since it wasn't mukhan from Erev Shabbos, because he totally was Masih Das from it, I'm not going to see this thing again the rest of Shabbos. And if it does, so that Morris says even if it ends up going out and it really should be usable on Shabbos, you can't even if Shimon agree that's going to be remain muksa. So if Shimon does agree to Migdus Katzoy, but he holds that the idea of Yoshev Metzapah takes away these Katzoy. It's not really muksa because I'm planning on using it later on. Even according to Shimon, the Morris says if you have Gerges at Smukin, where you were dachya b'yadayim. So the person, not only did he, it was muksa the beginning of Shabbos, it was unusable because gerges and sukkim are inedible while they're in the process of converting from grapes into raisins. They become inedible. So they're not roy at that point in time for anything. They're not a food, they're not a kli, they're nothing, they're mamash muksa. But over here, the person intentionally did it. He was dachya b'yadayim. So even it comes out, you know, he, mamash set it aside up on the roof to dry out. Now it turns out that they dried out more quickly than he anticipated, and now it's the middle of Shabbos and they're usable. So Shimon says he can't use it. Since at the beginning of Shabbos, you were dachim yadayim, you totally set it aside for on other use, to be non-used, not Shabbos, not relevant for Shabbos, it becomes muksa and remains muksa the rest of Shabbos. So it means that here again, we see Rav Shimon agrees to this case, the idea of migud katzoy. Since, as far as his mind, it was totally pushed out of his mind, it cannot become usable again on Shabbos. Because it wasn't mukhan from Erev Shabbos. So Rav Shimon agrees that you need mukhan from Erev Shabbos. Rav Shimon's argument is that the way what he defines as mukhan and ready to use is different than Rav Yehuda's. So the argument between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon is not whether they agree to the idea of mukhan. Don't agree to the idea of mukhan. Rav says, Rav Shimon less than muksa. That's not true. Rav Shimon does agree to muksa. We just gave you two examples. We gave you an example of the case of the Kais Vashashis. We gave an example of Gerges of Smukit. Right? We'll see later on, the Morris says, Rav Shimon is mighty to Muksa Machos Chasar and Kis. So there are clearly cases where Rav Shimon does agree to. Rav Shimon's point is, anything which a person normally would potentially think about being ready to use is called Mukhan. It means the average state of an item is Mukhan unless you make it non-Mukhan. Rabbi Yehuda goes the other way around. The average state of an item is non-mukhan unless you make it mukhan. So Rav Shimon says, Rav Shimon's point is always in the back of your mind. You're always saying, well, I might need this for something. Okay, I have it in mind, just in case. Except for these type of things where it's clearly not like that. Because he was dachav yadayim. It's so much, he doesn't anticipate this near going out, etc. But in a case where it's, he takes his hides and puts them down into the store, he might need them for something else. So Rav Shimon says, yeah, you have them back in your mind. I might need them to sit on. So they're not muksa. Yehuda says, well, you put them in the store. So you put them in the store. They're not, you put out that. You need a positive act to make them mukhan in the store. They're not mukhan. You're planning to use them for business. Can't use them on Shabbos. Well, you might just need them on Shabbos. So I have a talus store in my basement. And I realized that my Shabbos morning, I forgot my talus. I sent my talus to the cleaners, so I want to go downstairs to the basement, take out a talus off the rack and put it on. So Zot Rav Yehuda, you can't. Because you made a business, that's for business. Zot Rav Shimon, of course you could, because in the back of your mind, you say, just in case, I need a talus, I have a whole talus store in my basement, just in case. So in the back of my mind, I always have it being mukhan, just in case, it's ready for usage. So a case of what muksa machmas oitzer, means something you put away for the purpose of business. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, is muksa. According to Rabbi Shimon, is not muksa. We pass like Rabbi Shimon. Muksa machas miyas. So the issue over here is, there's elements of miyas, and people don't like using it. So Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's not mukha. Rabbi Shimon says, yeah, but in the back of your mind, you say, just in case I need it, I'm going to use it. So muksa machas miyas, we pass like Rabbi Shimon. Noila. So there are two types of noilad. We pass like Rabbi Shimon by noilad. But even Rav Shimon is moira by Nerlid Gomer. Again, Rav Shimon agrees you have to have something which is mukhan from before Shabbos. It has to be ready to use from before Shabbos. So an item which is beklal not here, and only Eresh develops in the middle of Shabbos. So Rav Shimon said, you can't use it. It wasn't mukhan from before Shabbos. That's called Nerlid Gomer. But something which is here, but it's changed its state in the middle of Shabbos. Right? So it was a Nerlid. It changed. So the Moshul. So you had a Kli at the beginning of Shabbos, and the Kli had function X. Middle of Shabbos, it broke, and you can't use it for function X anymore. You can use it for function Y. So it changed. It's like a new thing. The old Kli is gone. You have a new Kli. But it's not really gone. I mean, it was here the whole time. It's just changing. So that's called a Noila, which is not another Gomer. We passed like Rav Shimon. That's not Muksa. So you don't need that it's maintaining its original usage. As long as it's Me'ein Malacha, it has some usage. So it's more. Now, let's say it has no usage at all. So then it's a different problem. It's like stones. And wood. But if a Kli breaks in the middle of Shabbos, and now it has a different function, so it's still not muksa, according to Rav Shimon, because you had in the back of your mind, listen, I can always use it for something else, just in case. That's all part of Rav Shimon's back of the mind. But another gomer, which all of a sudden just develops in the middle of Shabbos, this thing comes out of nowhere, so that is going to be a problem, even according to Rav Shimon. In these cases, we go like Rav Shimon. Now, this is by Shabbos. There's a machloikis between the Bayamtif, the machloikis in the Mechaber, and the Ramoa. What's Bayamtif? The Shulchan Aruch passes Bayamtif, passes like Rav Yehuda. Why is that? The Mor says in Beya that since Yamtif is more kuladik, the people tend to maybe just be more lax in Yamtif because you see a lot of cook, etc. So Chazal felt a need to strengthen certain areas of Yom Tov just to protect Yom Tov. So they said, you know what, Muktzeh and Shabbos is mutter, like Reb Shimon, and Yom Tov it's also like Reb Yehuda. So Yom Tov is going to end up being more chomer than Shabbos when it comes to Noilot. So it's Negeya, you finish eating your meal, so you have your chicken bones left, so but you can use the chicken bones to feed to your animal, or you have bones to feed to your animal. That's Noilot. That wasn't its function at the beginning of Shabbos. The beginning of Shabbos was to be part of your steak. Now, middle of Yom Tov, you want to change it to the beginning of Yom Tov. Now you want to change it to be a bone for your dog. So Shimon says, "Kzunt eight." Yehuda says, "No way. That's a noilut." So on Shabbos you can get away with that, but on Yom Tov, according to Mechaber, you can't get away with that. It's going to be muksa, and that's one of the examples which is very negayas. The person. So calls one, there's still a little bit of meat left on the chicken. You didn't consume it totally, so you don't have a problem with muksa. Because there's still some chicken there. So it's still, roy agav, the edible flesh which is there. But what, if you're totally, like a good boy, like your mother told you, eat everything, don't leave anything over on your plate. So all you have left is just the bones. You have a muksa problem on your plate. How to solve that problem, we'll get to a different time. Now, Reb Shimon does agree to certain types of muktzah. We pass like Reb Shimon by Shabbos, and even furthermore, the Migudis Katzoy, the Gemara says that B'Shas Atchak we rely on Reb Shimon also. So it's important to know, even though we pass like Reb Yehuda by Migudis Katzoy, it's important to know where Reb Shimon draws the line of Migudis Katzoy also, because if B'Shas Atchak, the Gemara says we're sumach on Reb Shimon, but even Reb Shimon says Gergis Smukim is no good. Even Reb Shimon says. And their gadol is no good. Even Reb Shimon has a place where Migudis Katzoy is a problem. But the places where you have a machlokes between Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon, so B'Shas Atchak, you could be Samech on Reb Shimon, the Gemara says. We pass them like that in Halacha. We pass like Reb Yehuda, Migudis Katzoy, B'Shas Atchak, you can be Samech on Reb Shimon. That's also in the case where you have a machlokes, whether this goes into Migudis Katzoy or not, so you have, there's another tzadet, because the Reb Shimon B'Shas Atchak is so. Knowing what Reb Shimon's position in Migudis Katzoy is significant. We don't pass him like it. Reb Shimon is moida by certain types of muksa. Number one, muksa machmas gufa. Stones, sticks, anything which is not a kli, anything which is not its primary function. This state is for usage for human being. It's not functional, so it's muksa. So mace is considered muksa. Chazal, interestingly enough, came along and said money is muksa. Many Rishonim already say money is muksa, machmas gufa. What I mean, money is functional. So they say, but since the money is the money is a way to represent the value. It itself is not the item, so they call it, it's not considered a kli. Now the Gabi certain halachas, money is considered a kli. The Gabi, the Tosfos talks about in regards to kalipin. Well, the Gabi Shabbos, many Rishonim deal with money, but that's not a kli. So it goes to the mukhsum level of muksa, which Reb Shimon is moded to muksa machmas kufa. Muksa machmas chasorin kis. No, before I get to that, Bali Chaim. So the Chazal say Bali Chaim are dealt with as muksa, they're not a kli. So they have a din of their muksa machmas kufa. There's a big discussion amongst the poskim. What about pets? So, well, pet does have a function. Pet's function is to make me happy, to play with. It's functional, or the person, at least some person talk about, but maybe a pet not. They say the pet, but most persons say pets are a problem. What about an aquarium? So this fish over here it's a painting on the wall. The function of the fish is not to be a fish. The function of the fish is to be a decoration for my house. Nice, beautiful tropical fish, flapping back and forth. So it has a function now. Does that change its status? So there's a merakh or zeruah, which is one of the late Rishonim from the Balei Tosfos. It was the son of the Zeruah. His name was Rav Chaim Zeruah. The Zeruah was, Rav Yitzchak Zeruah was one of the last Balei Tosfos. He lived in Vienna, actually. But he was the Talmud of the Merami Rittenberg. His son, merakh or zeruah, holds it's not muksa. The Ikur Pesach is that it still is a problem, but there are many places in which, if it comes out to the mice, the case where it's a question of loss of money, that you have to catch the fish because the water is there. There's cases where, ask the Shalach Lamaisa, because there may be cases where you can make a Halach Lamaisa. Well, they are, I think they are mukhsa still.
Why is it not considered a yichud or a pet? using them all week long as your toy.
And Chazal came along and said that, you know, Bali Chaim, you know, Chazal had a madrega called Bali Chaim, which they gave it to the Muxa. So Pasha's Yichud doesn't work. I mean, that's, you know, again, that's the Mechoikas. Muxa Machas Hasarin Kiss. So what's that?
Something's very valuable.
So there's two types of Hasarin Kiss. Two types of Muxa. And when you discuss Muxa Machas Hasarin Kiss, which Shimon is Moida too. There's two ways to discuss it. Number one, so I have a very valuable Kiddush cup. It's made out of gold. And I make Kiddush on every single Shabbos. I would never use it for anything else but Kiddush. So I max it from because of Chazon Kiss. I would refuse to use it as a doorstop, as a paperweight, as to use it to drink soda in the middle of the meal. I only use it. It has diamonds in it, and it has gold. It's Chazon Kiss. It's worth millions of dollars. Yeah, but its function is for Kiddush. Like, what's the problem? So I was miyachad to use for Kiddush on Shabbos. It's Chatzon Kiss, but its function is to use for Shabbos, for Kiddush. So how can it be muksa? So it can't be muksa. So the Shulchan Aruch Rav says that muksa machas Chatzon Kiss means the following. We start with a kli shemalat aliyas. Its primary function is something which is prohibited to use on Shabbos. I have a very expensive, I'm a photographer, and I have a very expensive, delicate type of camera which I use for very, very, my field of photography is taking pictures under the microscope. So I have this very expensive camera which works with a microscope. It's worth $50,000. You don't take pictures in shots. That's a form of cursive. And I will not use it for anything else but that. So it's not mukhan anymore. Because its primary function I cannot do. Everything else I refuse to do. So I was maxed, but you're dying. That's what Chazon Kiss is. Because if the primary function is something which is mutter to do on Shabbos, it can't be muksa.
If the person's eating the sudos elsewhere, he's not making kiddush on with that cup, would it then be muksa?
No, because its primary function is klishim lata lehet. It's a klishim lata lehet. It says, every chasar and kiss, the Shulchan Aruch Rav says, starts with klishim lata lehet, which means, the one function which I'm willing to do with it, I cannot do with it. And everything else I refuse to do with it. So then it's not mukha. It's muksa. I set it aside. But if its primary function is something which I can do, this is a thing which is mukha to use in Shabbos. It's very posh what he's saying. That's one type of chasar and kiss.
Rebbe's using very large numbers in terms of the value of these things.
Okay, so where do you draw really the line? Where do you draw the line is a different question.
It's more based on your kavana, would you use for other things or not? It could be.
Yes, 100%. I just gave an example, right. So the Moore's example is where you brought down halacha, a sack and shoshkita. You can't check on Shabbos. And it's, you know, I don't want to use it for anything else because if I use it for something else, it gets a pagam in it. I have to take it out. You can't check with any pagam in it. And it's a whole asik to do. So I'm not going to use it for anything else. Ismael Shal Mila, the Mila knife. You know, so now that's interesting to Shabbos because Mila is mutter on Shabbos. Why? But the Maisel, we deal with it in the Isra Shal Mila, that it's considered Chasar and Kiss, which is interesting then because it means till the Mila time you can't move it. Shabbos the Mila, you're allowed to move it. You have to put it there before Shabbos. Shabbos, why? And you're allowed to make Mila on Shabbos. Mila is Batsam Usra on Shabbos. There's a special dinner. Mila Shmini is Deicha Shabbos. So, what? So you're allowed, that's a big mechaikas over there in Yeridea, in Seminary Samavov. You may give me metaltal, it calls when you have it in your hand, and you may put it down right away. That's a discussion which we'll get to, hopefully. I'm not sure this time, at some other point in time. Anyway, but Chasar and Kiss is those type of things. So, again, the primary function is something which I cannot do, and other functions I don't want to do. I don't want to use my camera as a doorstop. It's not a good idea. I don't want to use it as a paperweight. I only want to use it for taking pictures. I don't want to use it for anything else. So, it becomes mux. Now, there is a second type of muksa machas chasar and kiss, which goes there's two other types, really, which go along these lines. One is, let's say something which is, really, it's tzarech heter. But I'm a yachin mokum for it. I have a picture I put on the wall, and, you know, I'm not the type of person who rearranges my house every single day. That picture is going to stay on the wall for the next 50 years. So it's basically maksadas of any type of usage for the picture. There's nothing wrong with moving a picture on job. It's not attached to the wall. Just hang on a nail. Pick it up, move it somewhere up. It's not muksa. There's nothing wrong with moving a picture, right? But I'm not going to do it. I'm totally remove it from my thought process of planning to do anything with it. So Chazon Ish holds that that's Pshat in the Gemara. There's something called Muksa Miyachin Mokim, and it will be Muksa also. The other person disagree with him. Say that that's not, it's not the Shulchan Harab. Others say it's not Klishim Latal Isser. It's not a problem. So that's Muksa called of Yichin Mokim. There's a third type of an idea which is similar. We know that a klishim lata lisser is mutter. You know, not be mechadish until you. It's mutter to move it. The tzarek gufay and the tzarek mekayim. Tzarek gufay means I have another usage. I have a hammer. So hammer. The primary function of a hammer is to bang nails in. Banging nails in is some form of boina. Banging. It's either boina. If it's in a house, it's boina. If it's in a kli, it's either boina or it's makar patish. However you understand. And that's its primary function. I want to use it to break open some nuts. So that's called tzarek gufay. I need the hammer to break open the nuts. A lot of do that. Let's say I need the spot where the hammer is because I need the chair. I'm sitting on the chair. I forgot to left it right before Shabbos, right before Sukkah. So I was building my Sukkah. Left the hammer there. It's sitting there right on the you know smack where I'm planning to sit down. So I'm allowed to pick the hammer up. Tzarek mekayim. Comes along the Baal HaMor, and the Baal HaMor says, what about if I have a kli which has no other function? Naturally, just has no other function other than its isser. It's kli shem natal isser, and there's nothing else you can do with it. Just practically, there's nothing else you can do with it. Right? So, if there's nothing else you can do with it, he holds that it becomes muksa gomer. And you cannot move it even with tzarek mekayim. Again, what's the lomdus? Because its primary function, you cannot do. And there's no other function. So it becomes totally muksa. It becomes totally unfunctional for Shabbos. Totally out of your mind. So it's totally out of your mind. That's a muksa. That becomes like the level of muksa of chasar and kiz. That it has no... That it's also even to move the tzarek mekayim.
I think it could be a doorstop or a paperweight.
Good. So you can always argue. Good. But again, he discusses, you know, let's say, so I have a pencil. So a pencil really, it's not a very good paperweight because if there's any wind blowing, the papers blow off after a pencil. A doorstop, it doesn't really do too well either. There are little else you can do with a pencil. So some person say that a pencil theoretically goes into this din of the Baal HaMor. So the Mishnah Berurah does not bring this up the Baal HaMor. It's not brought in Shulchan Aruch. It's not brought in the Mishnah Berurah. Rav Moshe was asked about it in the Tshuva. Rav Moshe says, he always sits a Baal HaMor, so you should be chashish for it in the Chathchila. But since the Mishnah Berurah doesn't bring it, you know, he says, you know, the person don't seem to bring it. So in case there's a tzarech, you're allowed to be makel on it. But definitely not, you know, the Chathchila person should try and avoid those type of situations. So that's the what's called muksa machlos chasar and kis, and the similar type of ideas, which is yichud mokum and the Baal HaMor's loch of the Baal HaMor. This muksa machlos isser. So the beginning of Shabbos, a person lit neiris. Beginning of Shabbos, neiris are the candlesticks are a keli. We paskin that a candle is a keli. And there's an example of the Baal HaMor also. Well, like most paskin. A candle, a wax candle is considered a kli. It has a function. It's a functional thing. It's made to burn, right? So it has a function. It's a kli. But what do you do with a candle besides burn it? So you have a problem of the Baal HaMor. You have a non-lit candle, right? So I have a box of candles sitting in a spot where I want to sit. It's a box of unlit candles, and I want to move the candles. All right. Person took out a bag of tea lights right before Shabbos and put down two tea lights and left the bag sitting there right in the, where you need it. So my lot of movement, it's klisha menatal iser. But according to Baal HaMor, there's nothing else you use the tea lights for but lighting something. So from the Baal HaMor would be a problem. Again, so if you need to, you have another eitzus, you would semech on the other sheetahs that you'd be allowed to move it. But if a person lit the candle, so there's an isser involved, you made it into the state of isser. Right now, once the candle is lit, I'm not supposed to move it because it's going to cause it to the flame to get smaller, flame to get larger. So I can't move the candle. So that's a case where Shimon is moida, that becomes muksa. While it's in that state, at least it's muksa. Shimon agrees to that. And we pass like a Yehuda, once it's muksa at the beginning of Shabbos, it remains muksa the rest of Shabbos. The last area where Shimon is moited, the more so he's moited to bosses. Shimon is moited to the din of bosses. So if I take an item which is a muksa that Shimon agrees to, obviously. So I have my camera, which is muksa, and I have my tripod, which is supporting my camera. So the tripod becomes a bosses, and I can't use the tripod for something else right now. I decide to put it on a place to store it, to hold it there. It can become a bosses. Halachas of Bosses, we see over here in the Gemara that there are a lot of halachas in Hilchos Bosses. The main din of Bosses is that a person put it there intentionally to be there. It should be there on Shabbos, and he put it there because he feels that's a place where it's supposed to be. So we pass on, let's say, raw meat is muksa. He has his challahs, frozen challahs, and he has the raw meat. And he's busy on Shabbos. He says, need to get this thing. He pulls out the raw meat, sticks it on top of the challahs, gets the thing that he needs, walks away, leaves the door, shuts the freezer. Come Shabbos morning, take out the challah. Can't get it because there's this big piece of meat on top of it. And he's not able to pull it out. The only way he can get it is by pulling off the meat to get the thing of meat. It's raw meat is muktzeh machmas gufa. Can't cook it on Shabbos. Can't eat it raw. We're knowing that meat is considered muktzeh. But you didn't really say, the best place in the world to put my meat is that these challahs function should be to support meat. You found an available spot to stick it. You're stuck in this. Rabbeinu Tam says that your goal wasn't to make the challahs the bosses for the meat. That's not a bosses. Because if it is a bosses, he says, forget about whether you can move the meat. The challahs become muksa. He says, and even if you want to pull the challah from beneath it, which you'd be allowed to do, make your din if it's not muksa, if the challah is not muksa. But if it became a bosses, you can't. The challahs become muksa. He says, no, the challahs aren't muksa. The challahs aren't there to support the meat. That wasn't why you put it there. Right? But if a person says, I need to store some meat, and the best place to store meat is on top of challahs because it's nice and soft, etc. You decide to put it there so the challahs should be functioning. That's where you want to put it. Bedafka, so then it will become a bus. So buses, it does have limitations. Now buses, it gets the same level of isser as the item which it's supporting. So if it's supporting something which is muktzeh machmas gufoy, so it's muktzeh machmas gufoy. Let's say you have a bosses to a kli shemanato l'isser. So there's a machlokes in halacha whether kli shemanato l'isser creates bosses at all. Machlokes is posing whether it's a din bosses b'chlal by kli shemanato l'isser. But even if it does, at best, at worst, it becomes a bosses with a hatter of the tzarek kufa, the tzarek makayma. It's not more chomer than the muks on top of it. The logic of bosses becomes secondary and tuffle to the muks. So it's the same as the muks, okay? But the muks itself is mutter the tzarek kufa, the tzarek makayma. So if I need to use the item, again, so if I need to use the place, I need to use the item, I'd be allowed to use it. So somebody asked me, tefillin. So he left his tefillin on his shtender. So he wants to know, is there a problem of muksa now to move the shtender, use the shtender, etc. So I said, first of all, there's three stadim over here. Number one, there's machlokes in halacha whether tefillin have a din of klishim natal l'isser, or they have a din of klishim natal l'heter. Okay. That's number one. Do we give, since it's kisvei kodesh, we don't give kisvei kodesh a din of muksa, so maybe we don't give tefillin a din of muksa, period. Even if we do, it's a klishim natal l'isser. So we have a shayla with klishim natal l'isser created in bosses. I understand it. Even in the case of the buses and the shtender, at worst, it's what to the tzarek kufa, the tzarek makayma. So if you need to use a shtender, you can use a shtender. Now the Mishnah Berurah points out that klisha malata le'isser, which is what to the tzarek kufa, the tzarek makayma, it's only if you don't have another option, really. If you have another chair you could use, so you should use the other chair. And that's based on a Gemara later on in Kola Kalim, which even klisha malata le'heter, Chazal said if you don't really need to do it, you shouldn't be using it. So kal v'chomer klisha malata le'isser. So again, so I have another shtender available, so I say use other shtender. If I need the daven, this is my spot, and the only thing available is this table to use. I want to use the table. So again, the table, putting tilt on the table is not a problem. That's not tilt. If I want to move the table to be able to get up and down, and I can't do that without moving the tefillin also, you'd be allowed to move the table without a problem. That's not a problem. Chazal came along and said certain things. We talk about the idea of hakpada. So Chazal came along and said certain things which Chazal saw as the levels of hakpada. That changes according to the generation. So in Bizman Chazal, raw eggs were considered something people use. Nowadays, raw eggs are something people don't use. Raw meat, some Chazal said, is roy nowadays. Maybe raw meat is not roy. The person spoke about paper. Go back a few generations. The person spoke about the papers are expensive. So many persons say nowadays paper is it's a kli. It's made for writing. Has a function. It's not muksa machas sarin kis. So these items can change from. I have a lot more to say. I think maybe what we'll do is, but I mean, in regards to what you've learned, I think we touch on the majority of the sugyas that you've learned. Regards, there are definitely a lot of other areas of muksa which you have not learned yet. So I think maybe we'll leave it for a different time when you, by then you've learned some of the gemaras, and then it'll be more familiar. Okay.